You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, episode 50.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Omnisend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands and marketers that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Google and Facebook. So it's much more than just email marketing. They handle all of your marketing activities across multiple channels, all from within one platform. They have single-click Shopify integration, which also includes email templates and automatic product import from Shopify. Super easy migration from any other email solution that you might be currently using. And right now, Omnisend is offering a 14-day free trial for all of my listeners, which also includes 50% off for the first 3 months. So check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/Omnisend, and use the coupon code Fastlane when you sign up. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving online with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when new shows are being released. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, today's a unique show. I had the opportunity to attend IRCE in Chicago, and it's the Internet Retailer Convention and Exhibition. And it really is, I think it's almost the definitive North American show that's available to, I mean, really to educate and inspire people that are in the online world, that are running brands online. And really tons and tons of topics and sessions and things were available, and I had the opportunity to sit in on quite a few of them. This particular show was quite unique this year because they partnered up with a few other large conferences into one big mega conference, and this is the first year they've done it. And so Retail X is the main or the largest conference that's there, and it really is now the largest overall conference for all things commerce. And so Retail X had a massive section set up for those in traditional retail. There was also a section for what was called Global Shop, and that was more the design and the retail part of retail. And then there was also a section called RFID, and that's radio frequency identification. And that was a really interesting little section too, because it's more advanced than just barcoding. RFID really is an acronym for the radio frequency identification, and it refers to more technology that digitally encoded tags or almost smart labels are able to be captured through radio waves. And so it's kind of similar to barcoding. Really exciting kind of the progress that's happening with the design of these smart tags, these smart labels, and how it can be applied towards inventory or asset tracking, personnel tracking, control access. I mean, there's supply chain counterfeit. There's just ridiculous amount of applications. What was really exciting for me was I felt that there was a very interesting convergence of the two. So you have the Retail X side, more traditional retail. Then you have the online side with 600 some partners and vendors on that side. But there's, you know, a very simple pathway between the two of them. And I found a lot of people that were in the online world only and are considering to open up a bricks and mortar or a pop-up shop and are interested in some ideas for displays and just overall concepts of what retail could look like. This was a great show for that because you had both sides, and even people in traditional retail were interested in platforms like Shopify Plus and then all the partners that connect to Shopify. And so pretty exciting. So this episode, I'm calling Booth to Booth. Essentially, I literally went booth to booth, and you'll hear a few times that I mentioned about serendipity. I decided to not necessarily have a plan of attack about who specifically I was going to interview. So this episode is literally about 5 to 7 minutes of me bumping into a booth or seeing someone in a hallway and just saying, hey, do you mind if we spend 5-7 minutes or so and just chit-chat about what sort of problems you're solving for Shopify, latest and greatest, what's happening with your particular solution? And we kind of get right to the meat and potatoes about what particularly they do and how they're helping Shopify brands grow and scale. So I certainly hope you enjoyed this episode. It was really fun. It was my first time doing a live recording. I typically hide behind the microphone and do a little crafty editing. This is a little bit unique because bumping into these partners and seeing how it all goes. It was really exciting. A lot of fun and room for improvement, obviously. But, you know, and there's a little bit of background noise and whatnot, but it shows the buzz that's happening with this particular show. So please enjoy. Well, we're back now with our next booth today, and we're with Ryan Powell from EasyShip. I guess you are director of
Revenues for North America.
All right, beautiful. So basically, we're going around today just talking with a lot of Shopify Plus and Shopify merchants and agency partners and tech partners. And, you know, I'm going to ask you a few questions today, just quick, down and dirty. But, like, what sort of problems does EasyShip solve for Shopify brands?
Yes, it was a good question. So really the focus for EasyShip is automating and making international cross-border shipping as simple as a domestic shipment. We do have the ability to just dynamically display the tax and duty at the checkout point, collect it at checkout point, all dynamically. In addition to that, we have partnerships with a host of international regional specific couriers that you can actually take advantage of our volume discounted rates. So we're enabling the cross-border and providing extremely low-cost solutions into those key markets at a cost point that makes a lot of sense, meaning that we're a free platform that's fully integrated into the Shopify ecosystem.
Very cool. I know I have a few merchants of my own that I recommended the EasyShip solution, and you know, they love the fact that they're able to show you know, the duty and tax in the cart instead of having either not charging it and then billing the customer, and that is kind of shocking, poor kind of user experience, right? When an international bill comes in, or hey, your duty and tax is payable for $26 to take ownership of something, right? Instead of a user experience of showing it in the cart itself. And so I think that's really, really, really exciting. So my next question is about case studies, any kind of success stories, anything you can share about any Shopify merchants and kind of what they're doing on your platform recently?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, there's a really interesting one, a brand called Inamorata. It's Emily Ratajkowski's brand, and they really started a few months ago, back in, I think it was October of last year, and they were domestic, pure domestic play. They were doing 300-400 orders a month, really small. We ran into them through one of our partners in the Shopify ecosystem, and were able to help them increase to 5,000 orders a day by enabling the global commerce, in addition to working with them and introducing them to some marketing partners in the Shopify space as well. An interesting thing, when we were going through and doing a shipment analysis and cost analysis for Inamorata, we saw that over 64% of their customer base in the international market were opting in for express solutions at the checkout point. So we don't have definite data, but when you're looking at something like that, what percentage of those buyers would not have converted if they didn't have an option to get it the next day or to get it second day, right? So I think when you look at the capabilities with EasyShip, not only can we get you that international customer that typically is more complex, more difficult, but then in addition, these dynamic rates at checkout, utilizing a plethora of couriers, can really, really increase conversion. So with that particular customer, the growth has been exponential, and the ability to work with couriers like SF Express, Aramex, APC, she doesn't have without EasyShip. So it's been reducing the cost, increasing conversion, and increasing customers. So it's been a win-win-win.
That's fantastic. So let's talk about the future for EasyShip. Is there anything, I'm not asking for the secret sauce today, but maybe is there a roadmap or partner alignment or anything in the future that allows the platform and the company to innovate? And you know, it's just such an exciting time to be in e-commerce right now. And so I'm just curious as to what EasyShip is up to.
Yeah, so we are working on a bunch of secret sauce projects, if you will. I think one of the things that's really exciting is we're working with our fulfillment teams and building out a product that's really specifically designed to help our fulfillment network expand to the global market and help their customers expand. So we're building out the ability for warehouses and people in the 3PL space to offer a product to their customer base to help them increase their customers' revenues, number of orders. So it's really, it's going to be an interesting way for a 3PL to get instant more action, gain access to our couriers, and also a centralized management tool that they can use themselves. So I think that's something that's really exciting, and we're going to be launching a couple of new countries here in a couple of months, which is really always really exciting. So our push into Europe is going to be growing rapidly coming here the mid Q4.
Well, thanks so much for sharing that. So how can people learn more about EasyShip?
Yep, so easyship.com, EasyShip.com. We're also on the Shopify App Store. Downloading and installing our system takes a matter of seconds. But yeah, easyship.com, we've got a great blog there as well with tons of really useful information just in the cross-border space, not necessarily about EasyShip, but just what's going on and some different strategies to help brands grow.
Very cool. And I'll also mention, too, that we have a full podcast with one of the co-founders that was done last year. And I'll make sure I link that up in the show notes so you can learn the true nuts and bolts of kind of exactly what EasyShip can actually do. I think we're going to have an encore full presentation or podcast coming up soon. But yeah, once again, Ryan, thanks so much for coming on the show. Much appreciated.
My pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Take care. All right, I've moved on to the next Shopify partner, and I'm now chatting with Ryan McDermott, who's head of business development for Bold Commerce. And hi, Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve. Thanks so much for wandering by.
Well, I'll tell you something. Many merchants of mine are using a lot of the Bold Commerce apps, and they have quite a few merchants that have also made the decision for them to do web development through your organization. So I just want to let you know that we really appreciate the quality of the work and the apps and stuff that you guys have. It's amazing. So good job.
Oh, thank you. We love to hear that, and certainly we aim to please.
All right. So let's talk about Bold Commerce. I usually ask the question about like what sort of problem you solve, but it's interesting with Bold Commerce because you have many apps and professional services in one. So overall, what sort of problem are you solving for Shopify brands?
You're right, Steve. With 20 apps, it's hard to pinpoint sometimes, you know, where our expertise really lies. I'd really say that nowadays our focus is really on the checkout experience and really making sure that we're helping merchants capitalize in a variety of ways with the customers that are visiting their site, whether it's an upselling opportunity, a cross-selling opportunity, using a rewards program, those types of things to really make sure that customers are not just buying, they're buying more, they're coming back, they're buying more often.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's talk about any kind of case studies or any success stories. If we want to talk about maybe that latest app, I guess it's called Cashier. Can you share with the listeners today like some of the details of Cashier, what it does, and then any kind of case studies or anything that's exciting about it that the listeners should know?
Yeah, probably one of the first things that pops to mind with Cashier is, and certainly just to dive in, Cashier is a Bold checkout solution. It's very much API driven, which means that developers or stores and their developer resources can certainly come in and make any kind of finely tuned adjustments that they'd like to make. One of the great things, though, is it works in conjunction with our upselling app. And why that's such a powerful tool is we're finding that upselling post-purchase is really proving to be much more effective. So one of the things that comes to mind is in April, the last stats that I received actually indicated that compared to a traditional upselling opportunity during the purchase process for a customer, our post-purchase upsells were actually 47% more effective. And that's across, you know, so many stores that are using our upselling app, and then naturally a lot with the combination of Cashier and upsell put together. But I mean, if you're saying, hey, we're pushing close to 50% increase in performance, that's really impactful to a lot of stores' bottom lines.
Yeah, you know, and I have these conversations like almost every single day with my merchants about increasing revenue and average order size. We talk about, you know, post-purchase kind of upsells and cross-sells and different things. So it's exciting that Bold is kind of putting that solution and a few others together to really kind of, you know, help these merchants grow and scale. So let's talk about the future of Bold Commerce. I understand there was H1, your headquarters one, and now there's an headquarters number two. And apparently there's even a distributed team that's now available. Can you share some details on that?
Yeah, well, ultimately, it's a great problem to have, but we've been outgrowing our space. So headquarters for us has now been relegated to one of the several offices that we now have in place. I've been happy to be involved in the new office space, which is really going to be exciting as part of the Innovation Park at the local university campus. So it's been really, really exciting. We've crossed a 300 headcount now at Bold, which again is another one of those milestones that we really celebrate, is the idea of creating more jobs. We're really doing a lot of international recruitment at the moment. So our HR team has been traveling to Brazil, over to several locations over in Europe, to bring in people that are not only interested in working for Bold, but also interested in already in the motions of coming over to Canada. So that's had a really great impact. And then certainly as we continue to scale and continue to grow, we're really just excited to continue on with the trajectory that Shopify and Shopify Plus is experiencing right now. It's so much fun.
You are a phenomenal partner, and you do have a lot of great solutions. So how can people learn more about Bold Commerce?
You know what? I think there's a variety of different ways. Naturally, boldcommerce.com is a great spot. You can certainly find all of our apps listed in the Shopify App Store. And then certainly, we also make available through the variety of social media channels. We've got a pretty active team there. They're always keeping people up to speed on what type of events we're attending, what's going on at our headquarters and in the office from day to day. So those are all great avenues to keep up to speed. And please don't hesitate to reach out. We've got such a great team. There's lots of people always eager to answer questions or provide some support.
Well, thanks, Ryan, for coming on the show today. I'll make sure I update the show notes with all those links. And, thanks for coming on the show.
Super. Thanks so much, Steve. Always good to see you.
All right. Take care. Well, I'm actually moving on to my next partner, and I'm talking today now with Phil from Gorgeous. And previously, I'd say about maybe a year ago, the founder, Romain, I don't know how you pronounce it in French. Maybe you can clarify that right now.
Yeah, Romain.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I'm not French, but I try my best. And so, for those listening today, what sort of problem does Gorgeous solve for Shopify brands?
Absolutely. So we help Shopify brands transform customer support from something that costs them money to something that will generate profit for their business. So that's really, we go through a process with the customers that we onboard, which consists of three steps. First, we help optimize and automate the most recurring customer service questions. Where is my order? Everybody answers about half of their support inquiries are about this question.
Where's my order? Yeah.
Exactly. So we're just helping them to automate as much as possible those inquiries. Then we help merchants make sure that they are on all communication channels possible. Mm-hmm. So for example, we're the only help desk that integrated with every SMS marketing app that does SMS marketing for Shopify this year. We're talking about Retention Rocket, SMS Bump, PostScript, and so on.
Right.
So now you can reply to all of your SMS replies directly in Gorgeous in a unified view with your Shopify profile. And finally, we help merchants monetize customer service questions or interactions. So we help understand how much pre-sale inquiries are actually converted into actual sales through chat. Or we help also make sure that all your positive interactions on social media, on Facebook comments, Instagram, people saying that they love your brand, that they actually being this traffic is driven back to your site and then is converting. So we have several strategies that we help our merchant with. So it's all about, the bottom line is to make profit, generate sales for profit and sales from support today.
Yeah, I also find, that's a really good comment. I find that a lot of brands, what they're doing is they tend to have either Gmail running, they'll have a live chat solution running, they may even have some kind of a CRM system running just separately. They have a lot of these separate apps or solutions all running, and I find it's a little bit of a duct tape solution, and I find that that's one of the advantages of Gorgeous is a kind of a single view of the customer record and all their interactions with the brand.
Yeah. So we'll bring all of your communication channel in one dashboard. So email, Facebook comments, Instagram, Messenger, SMS, chat, you name it. And then we map every conversations coming from those channels to a Shopify profile.
Right.
And where really the power lays is in using Shopify data in order to reply automatically or with the right data to the customer at the right time. So, and this is really what sets us apart from any other help desk out there. The ability to use those data points in your canned response and then also as triggers for your rules to reply automatically.
Very cool. I also find it interesting, too, that there is some connections with a few other loyalty programs. And I think it seems like you're empowering the customer service people to see if there's any loyalty available or if they can push out any rewards. Can you kind of share the business reasons to why you're connecting to some of these partners?
Yeah, absolutely. So loyalty is huge. Smile is a good example. Loyalty Lion as well. So we will connect with those partners in order to provide the customer service agents also a unified view of how much loyalty points the customer has when they're talking to that customer. So they can use that in order to drive more satisfaction. Just say, hey, by the way, you have X amount of points. Click here to go redeem them. And we can automate also this type of inquiries. Also, other partners that we integrate closely with is like Recharge. So we want to make sure that customer service agents don't need, again, three different platforms to go process all the inquiries. So you can process all of your subscription inquiries directly from Gorgeous Backend. And some of the use cases that we're working on right now with some CRMs that have AI capacity on product recommendation. So now we're going to soon start generating product recommendations for each customer in Gorgeous. So when your customer service agent is talking to a customer, you'll see in their dashboard, hey, by the way, they would probably be interested in that product.
Right.
So then the customer service agent can be like, hey, we have a new arrival, check this link right here. And so we know by their preferences where they browsed and what they purchased in the past, that they would be interested in that. So yeah, it's all about generating more value through support.
It's really exciting because I can actually think about it now. Someone calls up, where's my package, or I want to return it, or whatever the reasons are. And I know you have ways of having, predefined, I don't know what you call them, where you can send out notifications to people that are predefined. What do you call that
feature? The macros.
Like that. Okay, so what about case studies or success stories? Are there, certain brands that you can that have made the choice to, maybe they used to be on a different system, now they're on Gorgeous, and has there been, a lift in revenue or in human capital? And just maybe you can share for the listeners today.
Absolutely. So as you're aware, our main competitor today is Zendesk. And what we see is most of the brands right now being a little bit dissatisfied with that solution. And a lot of the brands such as Rothy's.com, YouTube brand Movement, or again, Thrive Cosmetics, are mostly coming from that platform. And when they switch on Gorgeous, they will see within a month from rolling out the solution, a 30% improvement in efficiency in their team. So if they had a team of 10 people, they could repurpose 3 agents to something else.
Right.
So this is the kind of impact that working with Gorgeous has on the leading Shopify brands. But Shopify right now, Gorgeous has 1,300 Shopify merchants on the platform. And it goes from really the solopreneur that wants to have a unified view of all their communication channel to the very large 9-figure brand that have over 100 agents and that really need to optimize their process. The common denominator here is always they're on Shopify. This is where we deliver the value.
Awesome. So what does the future hold for Gorgeous?
Well, we're growing fast right now. So we're growing at about 10 to 15% month on month for the last a little bit over a year now. So we really hit our stride within that ecosystem. So the first thing is really making sure that we're on every channel where a Shopify merchant or an e-commerce operator needs us to be. So there's the communication channel, but there's also the different marketplaces, such like Amazon and Walmart. Somebody will sell on Shopify, will also sell on Walmart. So we want to make sure that we provide that unified customer service solution for all of the channels. And if we're talking just a little bit more as a company, where really we see the whole industry going and what are the features that we're developing now, it's all about machine learning. So we're not yet talking about AI, we're more grounded. It's today, in Gmail, when Gmail types your... So we rolled out last week predictive typing.
Right.
So in Gorgeous now, you have the same feature as in Gmail, where we know by machine learning what your agent is most likely to be typing next.
Right.
And you can just release that sentence
with
one click.
Right.
So machine learning for us, we have a team working on those features today to really empower the agents to be much more efficient. That's the kind of thing that today we're working on that projects us in the future and ahead of our competitors.
Wow, that's awesome. So how can people learn more about Gorgias?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just visit gorgias.io. That's GORGIAS.io. We have a lot of exciting news going on there, but you can also reach out to me at phil@gorgias.io, and we'd be more than happy to give you a little bit more details on the things that we're working on and how it could potentially help your brand grow a little bit faster.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Phil, for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, Steve. A real pleasure.
Well, now I've moved on to my next partner at Booth to Booth, and I'm speaking with Brett Parsons from Veriship, and we're going to talk about some of the shipping issues that happen, and I find there's quite a bit of money that's kind of left on the table as far as maybe these service level agreements from FedEx and UPS or whatever carriers you're using. I think it'd be interesting to hear exactly what sort of problem from a shipping perspective that you solve for Shopify brands.
Yeah, so thanks, first of all, for having me on, Steve. I appreciate the opportunity, and it's a good question. It's one that I spend a lot of time talking about here. And so to answer your question, we're a parcel intelligence company. So we're dealing with people that are shipping small package. What we do and what we bring to the table is visibility and the ability to go in and find the areas of opportunities, not only beyond the audit, the late deliveries, the invalid surcharges, the stuff that most people are aware of, but going after it in a way that's scalable and to get that money back. And a lot of times people don't know that money's available,
right.
So we automate that process for people as they scale, as they're shipping larger and larger volumes to where they can get away from the manual process and highlighting that areas. And advanced analytics and contract engineering further down the road as well.
I see. So I guess, because I'm learning about this too, and I do agree, in my former life with my startup, I mean, we were shipping upwards of 500 packages a day, and we never really did follow up with the fact that many were late. I guess we kind of realized that there was money due back because FedEx, guaranteed delivery of 2 days, we paid for it, and it ended up not being delivered or being massively late, and then that creates a really poor user experience. That's the first thing. But then on the flip side, we just didn't have the human capital to be able to go in and audit every invoice line by line and try in almost spreadsheet hell trying to figure out, well, what is missing or what didn't get delivered, and then how do you chase down all that money? It just seems it was just too much work, to be quite honest with you. And so are you suggesting that that's what your company does, is it kind of solves that sort of problem with brands that have lots and lots of orders going out, but they're not completely delivered on time and their money is due back to them?
Yep. So there's three options out there if you're shipping small package, or three scenarios. Either you're currently working with somebody like Veriship that is automating the process and getting the refund and giving you visibility, giving you leverage, or you're trying to do some version of that manually, which at a certain point is somewhat possible, but as you scale, it becomes not feasible to be able to invest the time and the human capital to do that. Or you're just not, and you're not aware, and there's money left on the table. And so those are the three scenarios.
Yeah.
And as people grow, we've been in the marketplace since 2005. We have one of the largest customer bases of people using a service like us, but there's still our market penetration is small because the people don't know. So being able to go outside the audit, there's a lot of people that do the audit and we do the audit well, but we also free up that human capital for them to focus on other areas and highlighting areas of opportunity that we're not making any money on, but it's a conversation piece that we can highlight for them and say, listen, if you just call so-and-so at this location and let them know that they don't need to declare value, that'll free up $60,000 for you. How does that sound?
That's a great, I know. And I have a funny suspicion that a lot of brands, even the ones that I manage and stuff, I guarantee you, a lot of them realize that there's probably money due back, but it's not on the top of the list of tasks and growth strategies and just business operation-y things that they're working on. It's just not top of mind. But, people in revenue that are part of that company, the CFO or the controller, they would love the opportunity to learn what you guys do.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, anytime we're talking to a CFO and we're talking in terms of dollars and cents and percentages, it clicks, right? The way that our product and our solution gets referred to most often after we get to that point of the conversation is referred to as a no-brainer, which is nice to hear. But you're right. A lot of times people get bombarded with calls and solicitations from people in our space similar to that, and they're offering reseller rates or they're offering to put it on their trucks, and we don't have our own rates. We don't have our own trucks. We're completely different. But on the front end, they see it as a undertaking, a project to manage or anything, and really we're a turnkey solution to where they're not aware that within a couple minutes we could start showing you areas of opportunity and let the data decide whether it's worth it. I mean, we'll show you. We're very transparent in what we do. So
very, very cool. So do you have any case studies or any kind of success stories? I mean, obviously there's brands that that consistently make the decision to use you every single month as part of the audit of all of their packages. You know, I mean, I'm not asking to let you know what particular brands, but do you have any success stories or revenue lift that you feel is somewhat reasonable that most brands could possibly expect?
So yeah, we do have case studies, and I'm happy to provide those. At request, we give those out, and this is one of the ways that people always are asking. Successful customers tell a much more compelling story than I will ever be able to tell. So I love to lead with case studies and let somebody else talk about us rather than me. But some of the areas that, most people are somewhat aware of a parcel audit, right? And we do that. But that's the tip of the iceberg, the cherry on top for dealing with a company like Verisship. And so some of those success stories and some of those case studies highlight areas that they came in because they were looking for an audit. And then we, freed up, $250,000, $500,000, $1 million in opportunity to help, better their contracts, and then those operational efficiencies in that human capital. And so that's where you'll see that a lot of our case studies focus is not the audit. The audit's gonna get you back 1-5% just as the nature of what the audit does. But those case studies are more about, hey, here's some other stuff that we weren't even aware of or didn't even know those possibilities existed until we came to Verisship. So.
Wow, that's awesome. Really, really cool. So let's talk about the future of Verisship. Is there anything in the pipeline or the roadmap, any kind of enhancements to the platform that you can kind of share?
Yeah, no, so great question. One of the perks and advantages about working at Verisship is I am surrounded by very, very intelligent people. So we're in a constant state of change and improvement. My role is simple. I get to go out and brag on the people that I work with. But they are looking at, introducing all sorts of products. We've come out with some parcel pay, geocoding capabilities, advanced reporting. But we're always looking at areas to improve through customer feedback. So, what's the point of going to market if you're actually not solving a pain for a customer? So we rely on feedback from customers. We're looking at all sorts of other things that we can highlight, build, and do a good job and bring it to the market for our customers. So
awesome, awesome. So how can people learn more about Verisship?
So yeah, that's one of the struggles is, people are not familiar with what we do. Even though we have the largest customer base out there, it's still one of those things where we get lumped in with the third-party logistics companies or the resellers or the asset-based carriers. The best way to learn, to me, is get out there, do some research, check us out at Verisship.com. LinkedIn, a lot of us are starting to get more and more active on LinkedIn, and we attend a few trade shows and stuff as well. So that, my job is to be out there telling our story all the time. And so it's just like anything. The consumer nowadays is very research conscious. They want to go do their research and be armed with that knowledge going to the table. And we're publishing that content, pumping out that content, and I'm out there telling the story all the time. So if you see us on LinkedIn, you see me on LinkedIn, reach out, ask a question. I never say no to a conversation. So.
Hence why I met you at an event, and that's why we're doing this podcast today. So, well, once again, thanks, Brett. Thanks for coming on the show today.
I appreciate it. It's a pleasure.
Okay, I've now fortunately was able to bump into Ben, who is the president and co-founder of Octane AI. And welcome to the show, Ben.
Thank you for having me.
It's very, very exciting. I see Octi floating around the floor here. I see you have one actually in your bag right now, which is the mascot for Octane AI.
Yes, you're going to have to visualize or just like Google Octane AI Octi. You see the cute little robot. It's the little robot that helps you with your store. So we have this big version that you can get if you become an Octane AI customer, make your first $1,000 with Octane AI, or you become an Octane AI partner.
Awesome. So let's talk about what Octane AI does as far as, what problem does it solve for Shopify brands?
Sure. So For the last 10, 20 years, the primary way that a Shopify brand or like a e-commerce brand in general is connected with their customers has been email. Email is always important, but email is not the number one use of time on a smartphone. Messaging is. And email click-through rates, you get like 5, 10%. Maybe you're in like you're doing great. But with messaging, you can reach these customers directly where they are. You go where the customer is.
Right.
And so Octane AI is like the super shortest way. It's like a Klaviyo or OmniSend for Messenger. And so being able to do all the advanced campaigns that you do with email, like cart abandonment, browse abandonment, shipping, receipts, updates, broadcast, newsletter, all built for messaging. We support Facebook Messenger and more recently SMS, being able to connect with these customers rather than a 15% open rate, get an 80% open rate. Instead of a 5% click-through rate, get a 40% click-through rate and learn more about them and have a more personalization, because with conversational experiences, you can learn more about them, segment them based on that information and give them a much better, more personalized experience where you can like walk them through a product recommendation or do a lot more.
Phenomenal. I have quite a few brands that have made the choice to actually work with you folks, and they're ridiculously happy about the lift. Number one, just as a bare minimum, just turning on cart recovery as the first step. Then from there, I think that opens up some dialogue about other things that the platform can do.
Yeah, our customers are getting 5 to over 30% of their revenue from just Octane AI campaigns. Like we have like Boxu, for example, like using it to like send broadcasts about like their subscription boxes. Manscaped like doing like really cool cart abandonment kinds of messages. And we just came out with browse abandonment, like just outright out of the box, being able to get people like even earlier in that funnel experience, really driving awesome like conversions and just a good experience for customers.
That's awesome. So do you have any particular case studies or any kind of success stories that you can share? Those, I guess, brands that made a decision to start getting involved with messaging?
There's a whole ton. So like we've been walking around actually with one of our brands, Feet Socks, Forbes 30 Under 30, and they were able to get 5x their the amount of cart revenue that they got from email within like a first month, like a 5x like increase in cart recovery, which was incredible like experience for them. We have a couple other brands like Boxu, which I mentioned before, that are really driving sales by like these really targeted broadcasts. Right. June and January sends really amazing broadcasts to their customers and drive sales. One of our very first customers, Apartment2B, a big like Shopify Plus brand, they like sell furniture.
Oh yeah.
And so like they have like nearly like 20% increases in revenue by like sending not just like the abandoned cart messages, but it's also just like the really engaging messages. They really specifically focus on holiday themed messaging. So like you get these great messages and these beautiful images for like 4th of July or Father's Day or other key like selling times. Mm-hmm. And that really drives a strong conversion for them.
Right. So are there any particular campaigns, in your opinion right now, that maybe top of funnel acquisition type that are cheap? You know, because Facebook's expensive overall, trying to acquire new customers. Is there any way of having an ad that then lets your bot start the conversation?
Oh, yes. So we launched a thing called conversational ads, and everyone should like think about conversational ads. So a conversational ad is like a normal Facebook ad, except it gets people into Facebook Messenger, and then you drive them to the sale. So discount or product recommendation. So what we found is if you run the exact same ads you're doing now with normal like Facebook ads, but in conversational form, it just appears in the newsfeed, it drops in Messenger,
right.
Exact same conversion rate. But now they're a subscriber on Messenger. Now you can constantly follow up with them. And now the average like value of that customer over time is so much higher.
Yeah.
And then each time you, with Messenger, you can also add, when you ask for an email address, pre-populates it from their Facebook account. They just have to click a button to share it.
Nice.
Same with phone number, syncs it to your system. We like one value prop we have is that we have the most integrations of any messaging platform.
Okay.
We're the only messaging platform integrated with Klaviyo, for example. Mm. And so if you're like a Klaviyo customer, now that information is synced automatically to Klaviyo. Now you have the email address. Now you can trigger emails based on action taken in Messenger.
Right.
Same kind of thing if you're like a customer of like JustUno or Privy or like a Recharge or someone else.
Wow.
Like the data works together with the other companies that you're using.
I understand that Shopify Plus is now integrated with you, I think, through Flow Connector.
So like, we're doing a whole bunch of stuff to like, we'll say stuff coming soon, come email me, ben@octaneai.com. You want to like try some of the new Flow stuff, you want to try some of the new stuff that we're doing with Shopify Plus. We really do focus on Shopify, like we have a lot of Shopify brands and we have a lot of Shopify Plus brands. We really focus on like that, like giving you the tools to do the premium experience. We do have like a new feature that I can't really talk about yet, but it will help you really optimize your conversions. You definitely want to email me about it.
So that, I guess, answers the question that I was going to ask about what the future holds for Octane AI.
There's like for us, I think one of the big things you're going to see is a lot more integration. So like, I'll name like two that we're working on right now, which is Naso and Refersion. Mm-hmm. And so like a lot more integration to a lot more of the products that you're using in that Shopify ecosystem, and having it all really connect to each other. This is just definitely a thing we've been known for, and we're really doubling down on that experience and like adding like more and better channels. We just added SMS as a channel, and we're going to be adding more to create one conversational unified experience that connects to all the other products that you're using, so that you don't have like you have one thing that is not like texting and messaging. It knows which one to send and when, so it doesn't overwhelm people.
Spammy. Well, great. So how can people learn more about Octane AI?
So you can go to octaneai.com or search Octane AI in the Shopify App Store. You can just email us, team@octaneai.com, or even just directly me, ben@octaneai.com. You want to chat, you want to talk about integrating into Octane AI, you want to like just trial it out and see all the things. Yeah, we got team members everywhere from Toronto to Barcelona.
Awesome. And I also would highly recommend that if you go to octaneai.com and look at the website, they have many, many playbooks in the blog area that are just phenomenal education.
We have some new playbooks coming out soon. That, like, you're like, I don't know how to start. We got playbooks that help you. We've got amazing agency partners that will help you. We will guide you through the process.
Beautiful. Thanks, Ben, for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Okay, I just finished lunch, and guess what? Serendipity happened again. I'm able to bump in to Jamie from Just Uno. Hi, Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for bumping into me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm asking a couple key questions. It's going to be a short interview today, but you know, the idea, like, what does Just Uno do? Like, what sort of problem does it solve for Shopify brands?
Yeah, sure. So we are an on-site conversion suite. So we're really hitting all aspects of the on-site customer funnel, right? So we're helping grow your opted-in email database through email capture. We're integrating with all the major email platforms to pass that information through. Then we're also helping with your on-site conversion by preventing cart abandonment, preventing unwanted exit from your website. And then we're supercharging all of that by being able to mirror all your off-site campaigns like paid search, paid social, your email campaigns. We can pick up those UTM parameters and show messages specific to those off-site campaigns on your website.
Oh, wow. So what do you think at the beginning? So if someone's not using your solution right now and like, you know, a theme, a free theme or a premium theme, the question comes up like why doesn't it just do that out of the box? If I have a premium theme, I turn it on my Shopify store. Like, you're obviously having extra value to build your email list and exit intent and all these different things that you do. Just there's a lot of people that are not using your solution that need to, because so if you can explain to me why it is that themes don't have it included. And what specifically, you know, why you're solving that problem. You know what I mean?
Sure, yep. So, I mean, I like to say that there's a lot of offerings out there that are going to do pieces of what somebody who converts website traffic all day long does. So you might find a tool or a theme that does a piece of this,
right,
but it's not going to be their core competency. All we do is flexibly and smart target your website traffic,
right,
to opted into your database and to convert it into a purchase. So you might be able to find a piece of that somewhere, but if you want that all in one place to be able to plug right into Shopify and your email platform, you know, we're going to be able to do that for you.
Okay, lots of clarity now. So let's talk about any case studies or success stories. There's obviously quite a few Shopify and Shopify Plus brands that made the choice to go with you. I don't know if you have anything on top of mind that you can think of, you know, any case studies or success.
Sure. So I'm holding this lovely box of Ella and Mila, Shopify Plus client nail polish.
Right.
So together with Shopify Plus and Klaviyo, actually, Just Uno has driven in the period that we measured this, $744,000 through engaged on-site messaging with Just Uno.
Wow. Okay.
9,000 emails added to their opt-in and email database in a single month.
Wow.
And we were able to increase their conversion rate on their shopping carts to 55.4%.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a significant lift. Yes. So, and that's all like, so based on, so they obviously
mobile shopping carts.
So yes. Mobile cart, yes. That was a significant lift then. Mm-hmm. And obviously mobile traffic is more than 60% of the traffic anyway, so it kind of makes sense. So that's excellent. So that even this brand that's on Shopify Plus, that's, you know, obviously invested in their customer experience, it's obviously, you know, a custom build, but they're also adding on your solution, and that's what's happened.
Yep, absolutely.
That's wicked. So Let's talk about the future. Let's talk about the future, because I think that talking to a lot of brands today and partners, I'm learning that there is a, you know, I'm sitting right now inside the Shopify Plus booth right now, and all around are all of the different partners that connect to Shopify in some way or another. And so I'm finding this alignment together. So is there any particular, I guess, connection that you're particularly proud of right now or into the future as far as what your solution is doing in relation to Shopify Plus or Shopify?
Yep, absolutely. So I think where we originally got our foot in the door, our bread and butter, our foundation was, you know, it started with the email capture and building opted-in databases. But now we have expanded into helping convert website visitors through all steps of their on-site website journey. And I think the next step is one of the little known secrets about our technology is that we're actually fingerprinting all visitors on the website, whether we have their email or not.
Oh, wow.
So we're profiling all website visitors. We're noticing, you know, whether they've purchased, how many pages they've looked at, et cetera. And we're building these profiles on these anonymous visitors.
That's excellent.
So now all that information is starting to be paired with product data feeds from the merchant stores.
I see.
And we're moving into a realm where our website profiles are using AI, that very popular word right now, using AI to inform additional smart segments and smart targeting via our technology on the website.
That's great. Because, you know, I always find this whole attribution model to be a little bit scary for a lot of people. Like, you know, it's either first click or last click attribution. And that now knowing that, you know, you have this unknown site visitor, and at some point when they're known, you're stitching them all together. And then from a marketing perspective, you now can say, well, they had all of these unknown locations and marketing, you know, tactics that you did. All of a sudden they made a purchase. Now they're known. And you're like, whoa, that was the journey to success. I need to figure out with your platform now to be able to now execute more campaigns like that.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Wicked. So you've got this rich data, why not connect it to the content that visitors actually view on the website?
Love it, love it, love it. So how can people learn more about Justuno?
I mean, it's a no-brainer, www.justuno.com. But
it.
I'd say the best bet is reach out to either one of our reps or through, you know, our network of agency partners.
Yep.
We will set you up with a demo,
Okay. Give
you a view of the technology. But honestly, I mean, we're pretty approachable people.
Absolutely. And you're in the App Store, too?
Absolutely. We're in the App Store. The integration auto-installs from the Shopify App Store. Mm-hmm. Go to any one of your friendly neighborhood Shopify agencies. They can probably hook you up as well.
Absolutely. I'll make sure I update the show notes with that and all those links. Once again, you know, thank you, Jamie, for coming on the show.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve.
Well, I'm back booth to booth again, and now I'm with the CEO and founder of Skubana. Hello, and how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
All right, Chad. So I'll tell you something. Let's talk about what Skubana does and what problem that it solves for Shopify brands.
Sure. As some of these direct consumer brands and digitally native brands grow, their complexity grows. Their operational needs grow and change over time. And so Skubana, anywhere you fulfill, no matter how you fulfill, we support them on the back end. So orders, inventory, purchase orders, profitability to run and automate your entire business.
So would that include like a full multi-channel operation?
Yeah, multi-channel even. We have a direct integration to Shopify POS, so you can have as many stores as you want. You can have a 3PL, you can do transfers in our system, you can actually operationalize and literally go to market with the click of a button with our software. We're sort of like the yin to Shopify's yang, right? So the way that Shopify has built their software is making it easy on the front end, all the things that you can see to enable merchants and brands. We do everything on the back end, all the plumbing work to make it all work, also with an app store with one-click integrations.
Now, what about marketplaces?
Yeah, all the marketplaces, but not just marketplaces. Like, for a brand, if you're starting off with one brand and you're digitally native, think like Away Luggage, right? They started off on Shopify, then they started off selling online, and then they started scaling with retail stores. And maybe they're going to start looking into going B2B and selling to Nordstrom's or Saks or any of those other channels. So the landscape is changing, and we help merchants. As their complexities increase, we help them scale and grow.
That's awesome. So do you have any case studies or any kind of success stories? I understand there was some funding recently, so anything you want to share, some exciting things that are happening?
Yeah, of course. So we're definitely moving up market with a lot of these brands and going upstream. I mean, our first retailer we closed, I think it was a big marquee brand for us and Shopify Plus, was Death Wish Coffee. Mm-hmm. But we've got Nomad, we have Cocoa Floss, We just closed an incredible celebrity cosmetic brand that we're under NDA with right now that we're very, very excited about. And we just closed a very large round of $5.4 million, a Series A. We've been bootstrapped for a long time. So if you haven't heard of us, really this round is all about scaling distribution.
Yeah, and I've actually had a good opportunity to meet some of the new team members that you brought on board too.
Yeah, so we're super excited. And Brian Lee, who started LegalZoom, then he started Honest Company with Jessica Alba, and then he started Shoe Dazzle with Kim Kardashian.
Oh, nice.
He actually became our board of directors. Okay. He's on our board. Yeah. So we're really, really super excited that we have someone that has such tremendous experience and has scaled digitally native brands, and he can really complement us in a very strategic way.
Very cool. I typically ask the question of what the future holds, but obviously the funding and the new team and some alignment of a lot of partners and things like that. Anything else you want to add to the future of the brand?
I think you're going to see a lot more collaboration with us and Shopify. We're very, very excited to join the Shopify Plus program and just looking forward to deeper collaborations together.
Very cool. All right, and so how can people learn more about Skubana?
If you want to learn more, you can come to skubana.com. You can email me at my personal email address, chat@skubana.com, and you can... Yeah, chat with me anytime.
All right. Always a pleasure, Chad. Great chatting today.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Well, I'm now chatting with Florence. It's Florent, right? Is that how you pronounce it?
Florence.
Yes. Okay. From Shoelace. And we're going to talk about some of the problems that Shoelace solves for Shopify brands.
Yeah, for sure. It's a pleasure talking with you, Steve. So what Shoelace does really is trying to make sure that your brand is not too annoying to your customer. So we focus on retargeting, and historically retargeting is like this channel that our brand marketer are using to like drive revenue with no real consideration of like how people are perceiving the ads. But today times are changing. It's more and more expensive to acquire a new customer. Retention is the new growth. You want to capitalize on the attention and the relationship you have with your customer. And retargeting is an amazing channel to like really engage them in a relevant way. We know what's the relationship with the brand, and we make sure to align the story of the brand with the customer and deliver a compelling story to them and build long-time relationship with them.
Yeah, I've noticed that recently there was a Shoelace 1.0, and then there was a Shoelace 2.0 just came out. Can you share about what the differences are between maybe, you know, the platform a year ago and kind of where you're at today with 2.0?
Yeah, for sure. So when Shoelace started 3 years and a half ago, the focus was really around automation. Like merchants, when they start, have like 15,000 problems, and we wanted to take one of their plate, which was retargeting. And as we kind of started to grow and understand and learn more about like what are like the pain points of the merchants, we realized that like retargeting was like something not only that had a lot of potential to drive revenue, but also an amazing way for them to tell their story. But when you want to really align each ad based on everybody's behavior on the website, it's quite intensive in terms of work. And since we had the technology for it, we wanted to really align our technology with like the needs of like the new the brands. So now we really focus and dive down into customer generic targeting by focusing on showing the right ad to the right people at the right time. So the Shoelace of today is a mix of technology and human. When the store plugs our technology into their brand, we will analyze the traffic and then build out a customer journey strategy for them. And that will be overseen by a human on our side to make sure it's aligned with the brand, aligned with the story of that brand, and with that we use the content at the right time at the right place.
So it's more like, so there's a human that actually is helping with ad copy and the visual component, but you're also understanding the types of ads that you're actually going to be displaying.
Yeah, exactly. So like what we do, we really like built out the shelf and then work with the brand to use the content that they have, because most of the brand that we work with on Shopify Plus usually have a lot of content that they can use either to educate the customer, to convert them or retain them. And we try to use that content along the journey in appropriate ways. So that's the role. Our technology we built, for how long should we advertise to someone based on like a specific behavior on the website. And then our account manager, retargeting expert, will just like feed the right type of content for that right type of customer. And we will take a stab at the ad copy, but usually we really want the brand that know really well how to communicate with the audience to like validate that copy. We make it super easy for them to tweak it. And then when the structure is robust, when the content and storytelling is robust and the copy is good to go, then everything goes live and we manage everything and scale everything for them.
Very cool. My next question is more about case studies or any kind of success stories. And I know Shoelace has significant amount of customers. And so do you have a case study or two or any success stories that you can share today?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, we have over like 2,000 Shopify store that we work with. But like since we launched our new platform, really our focus has really been into helping brand that have been scaling and that have like a really rich story to really further expand that that storytelling beyond just their website. And we work with like brands like Saludos, Rhone, and Tracksmith. And one of the really cool success story that we've had recently is with Rhone, where they came to us with like the need to like maintain the performance on their retargeting, but knowing that they were maybe dropping the ball a little bit on like telling showing relevant ad to their customer. And like it was maybe sometime potentially had a negative impact on how people perceive their brand. So we really helped them realign their content with their customer of the website visit. We help them scale and reach out to more people, and the results are really tremendous. So like now is able to tell their story very well across the entire buying cycle. We extended the reach from like 54 to 70%, and we've increased revenue for them coming from retargeting by over 20%. So we're very happy. It's still very early on, and we're still building and scaling things up, but this relationship of like maintaining performance while improving the brand story is something that we care a lot about, and Rhone is a great client for that.
Very cool, very cool. Thanks for sharing that. So we had Shoelace 1.0. We're in Shoelace 2.0 right now, so the human and the machine working together. Can you share any kind of future plans or roadmaps or partner alignment or anything that you're working on that you can share with the audience today?
Yeah, for sure. I don't know exactly what Shoelace 3.0 will look like, but I know the direction that we're taking. So we're taking two directions. One is to align all the different retention channels together, retargeting being one, email being another one. So we've just released an integration with Klaviyo, allowing merchants very easily to, like, each time an email gets sent out to Klaviyo, we synchronize with that and send an ad to the same audience on social media. So like the message is coherent across channel. We increase the reach and optimize for revenue and engagement. So we want to do that with like all the different retention channel, potentially SMS, Facebook Messenger, also leverage like loyalty a lot more and everything that really helped build loyalty between the customer and the brand. So that's one of the aspects that we're going to be working on heavily over the next few months. And the other one is, you know, Shoelace has been a full service platform for the longest time, where like if you come to us, we will take ownership of your retargeting. And we want to make that not as like the only option. So Shoelace over the next year or so will become more of a self-serve platform, where we will still be happily managing the retargeting for clients that want to, but for agencies or people that are a bit more hands-on into how they do their entire digital strategy, we'll be able to operate our solution themselves with our guidance.
So it's almost like a white labeling of the solution.
I would say more of a self-service platform.
Self-service
platform. Imagine like the Klaviyo for advertising.
Okay, that's awesome. Really cool. And thanks for sharing that. So how can people learn more about Shoelace?
Well, Shoelace.com is a great place for resources. You can engage with us at any time across the website, and we'll be happy to show you what it looks like. And you can also follow Reza on Twitter, our CEO, who's really trying to promote the methodology of customer generated targeting, share a lot of content, and have a lot of great conversation with like DTC and DNVB influencers. It's a very rich resource to learn more about what Shoelace is up to.
Excellent. I'll make sure that I put his Twitter handle in the show notes for this episode. Well, you know, thanks again, Florence, for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Steve. Always a pleasure.
All right. Take care. Well, believe it or not, I have now just bumped into Chris from Zayus. And Zayus is a CRM for, how would you position like the actual product?
Great question. So it's a B2C marketing tool. So we help to basically combine data together to help marketers become more relevant.
I see. Okay. So let's talk about, I mean, you led in a little bit on a high level, but can we be more specific? Like, what sort of problem do you feel that Zayus is solving for people that are on Shopify, both core merchants and plus merchants?
Absolutely. So we have a lot of our brands are using very high-level ESPs, right? They're saying batch and blast. They might say, hey, Steve. Hey, take a look at this.
Yeah.
But the problem that we're solving is gathering all that data that's happening online, maybe even offline, and then becoming more relevant in their marketing.
Right?
A lot of people are still sending batch and blast emails, but don't realize that the revenue, a lot, is in those behavioral emails.
Yeah, that's true. That's very
true.
One thing I noticed too, because I have a few merchants that kind of made the decision to go with Zayus. They've had, you know, MailChimp or other different types of ESPs because they really are trying to dial in their marketing. And one feature that, you know, maybe you can expand upon, I mean, could be the value prop of Zayus is the fact that you have access to an anonymous visitor, meaning that no matter where they are on the web, it could be on their phone, it could be here, their search history, and then all of a sudden this full almost customer profile, once they are finally known, then all of a sudden, I think from a marketing perspective, that's quite interesting to me that, you know, because, you know, conversion rates are low, let's call it 2%, so 98 out of 100 are leaving, but, you know, let's talk about the journey of the different marketing strategy. It could be organic, it could be, you know, different paid strategies, and they still haven't bought, but eventually they do buy, and like, hey, that strategy worked, and I did get a sale, and so can you maybe expand on the whole anonymous site visitor to known, and then what that means from a marketing perspective now?
It's a great question. So you only have so many touch points, really, with some of these customers. So you want to personalize immediately right away.
Right.
So what we've done is allow our clients to essentially track anonymously, know what they're searching, know what they're looking at, and know what they care about.
Right.
So that when you start a welcome series, right, or even a post-purchase, you saw what was relevant, what brands, what things they're paying attention to, right, what categories. So that way you can be personalized right from the get-go.
Right. Very cool. So let's talk about any case studies or any kind of success stories. I mean, obviously there's a pile of merchants that have kind of made the decision to flip over. They just want to be, as you say, more relevant. They want to have, you know, a more advanced platform to help them grow and scale their brand. So do you have any kind of specific customers or any kind of specific numbers or successes that people have achieved by, you know, making the decision to use Zayus?
Absolutely. So Mizzen Main is one of those clients. So we've actually recently come out with our ZAM product, helping to assist marketers. And so essentially what we're doing there is being more predictive, understanding do people care about that they will only buy with a discount,
right,
but also when are they going to make that next purchase? You know, what kind of key details? And it's funny because there's, you know, maybe it's the amount of emails that they open or site on time or how many sessions that they do,
right,
but there's key indicators that we pick up to help them do that. So what Mizzen Main has done is getting ahead of that, right? They're not reacting to maybe one email that they open or some things that they do on the site. They're taking all of that together.
I see.
Being able to know that they're going to be, you know, purchasing in the next 2 months.
Right.
That way they can start the right kind of marketing flow.
I see.
Right?
Very cool. And so we always talk about, you know, that it seems, you know, at a cost, it seems somewhat easy to acquire a new customer through paid acquisition. You know, the big challenge lifetime value-wise and just overall building a great customer experience and revenue for the brand is trying to get that second or future sale. Even, you know, even subscription companies are always really worried and concerned too about potential churn. Maybe they're involved for 2 or 3 months, and imagine if you're able to know that,
right,
and then being able to trigger some campaigns knowing that, well, typically the average customer is, you know, this many times, or but it's just the whole second purchase is very interesting topic. So can you expand about maybe how Zayus is helping solve the second purchase problem for brands?
Absolutely. So we actually have a great screen, our life cycle. So if you want to go to Zayus.com, check that out. But what we're helping do is that repeat purchase, understanding, okay, you know, people are purchasing on these timelines, right, with the predictive kind of stuff, but also how are they interacting? Are they just kind of searching? Are they actually looking at a specific product? And we help kind of marketers figure out what kind of campaigns they should be sending.
Right.
Again, not just the batch and blast, hey, what's new?
Right, right.
But hey, we noticed, you know, you're searching for X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Or we've known you've already purchased X, and in most people's pipeline, right, you're going to be purchasing Y or Z,
right?
Right, things like that.
Very cool. Very cool. So, Chris, what does the future hold for Zayus? You know, I mean, you know, I'm not asking for the secret sauce, or, you know, obviously you have some kind of a roadmap as far as, you know, connecting to Shopify and flow connectors or partners or, you know, lots of stuff or just enhancements to the platform. So can you share with listeners where the rest of the year is headed or into 2020?
Great question. So traditionally, you know, we were really working with that marketing end user, the people who are focusing a lot maybe on social media, because we have some other channels as well,
right,
but just email. But, you know, we're starting to get into stuff like merchandising, right? We're trying to basically create a platform that not just that email marketer, but whole marketing teams can utilize and kind of work together all within one platform.
I see that.
Right.
That's very exciting.
Absolutely.
So and so this is coming down the pipeline right now or is in development now. So as far as using the data and then strategically merchandising a website based on the best probability of success and conversion.
Absolutely. So there's going to be definitely some stuff later this year, some extra channels, maybe some on-site kind of things that we can add on to. But we're going to be touching a lot more on different parts of that marketing team that we've been working with.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, how can people learn more about Zayas?
Absolutely. Well, if they've watched Shopify Plus last, their place up there in Toronto, right? Kara.
Unite Conference.
Kara Hogan, yeah, she was up there. So she actually does some really good podcasts, right? Help the Marketer, Empowered Marketer, doing Unboxed, which is a great video series that we do.
I listen to it and watch it.
But absolutely, you know, where Zayas can help out, Zayas.com/demo. That's a place to go and get the fuck.
So awesome to have you on, Chris. And best of luck with Zayas. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, I've just now had the opportunity to bounce to the next booth, and it is Privy. You may or may not have heard of Privy, but I'll tell you, they have an incredible solution. I have many merchants that are using your solution. I think for the listeners today, let's talk about what Privy does for Shopify brands.
So Privy is a tool that sits on top of your Shopify store, and really it's designed to help you do a couple things. Grow your email list, reduce cart abandonment, stopping people before they leave, and then ultimately bring them back with our abandoned cart emails and reminders.
Very cool. And so Shopify, obviously, when you have a decision, you either use a free theme, you have a custom build, or a premium theme. Like, why don't these themes do these sorts of things kind of out of the box?
You know, I think what we've found is that we can really focus on being expert in on-site displays, for example, where themes may have something simple built in, but when you want to take it to the next level, either from a design standpoint or a targeting standpoint, we're just so focused on this that we're able to develop faster and support a wider array of use cases sort of across the board. So as your brand evolves, you're going to want your on-site messaging to evolve, but you can do that with us without having to redo your website all the time.
Because some of the basic, I mean, I guess it's almost like I'd say a gateway to using more advanced features of Privy would be like exit intent pop-up. Yeah. So someone comes to the website, having an average conversion rate, let's call it 2%, so 98 out of 100 people are leaving. And so at least, do you find that there is a significant lift in email capture or Facebook Messenger opt-ins or whatever? Do you find that it works quite well as a starting point with exit intent?
It does. So there's two ways that people use exit intent really, really effectively. One is just a generic sort of like, before you go. Before you go, sign up for our email list to get great offers. Those work great. Right. What works even better is what we call a cart saver pop-up. So the way that works is you would target it based on the cart value that someone has. So if they have anything over zero, for example, you could pop up a message that specifically speaks to that. Right. And then when they fill out your form, you can email them like a unique coupon code that'll bring them back to the site later. Right. Uh-huh. So that's super powerful. Right. And then as you get even more fancy, if you've got, you can use that same cart value targeting to say, oh, this is a high value customer. I'm going to give them one offer. Right. I'm going to give a low value customer a different offer. And you can do that with our targeting rules.
Wow. So there's segmentation of VIPs. Oh, it's very cool. Very cool. So do you have any kind of case studies or any kind of success stories that you can kind of share? Because, you know, some people are not using Privy. Yep. Brands have made the choice to use it. So they have some kind of like ROI or lift more than just building an email list. So can you share some stories that come to mind?
Sure. So we see merchants of all different sizes, right? I think we have currently over 100,000 Shopify stores have Privy installed. Mm-hmm. And what we see is that for the small guys, it's just starting to get that email list going, right? And then, you know, we sort of look at the value of an email address. And we've been doing some analysis on our own data. We see that generally there's about $7 of revenue that comes in for every email address that you capture.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Right? So you think about that for a small store just getting started, that can be really powerful as a nice jump starter. When you get up into the plus territory and you're seeing millions of dollars coming from, you know, your most valuable marketing channel, which is still email marketing. So, you know, whether it's a company like Dormify or Zutano, who's doing a lot of really cool things, more advanced segmentation, they're not always doing capture. They might do what we call a no-form display. Right. And they'll do that to recommend products or to drive upsells or introduce new products across the site. So there's a lot of really cool things you can do once you've already captured someone's email address as well. Wow. And then on the early side, you see people getting their first 10, 20, 50 email addresses and building that audience is so powerful. It's the most important thing you can do is build that audience of people who are opting into emails from you, and even, you know, through our partners, opting into Facebook Messenger or SMS, right? Yeah. So the future is really around you know, getting all these opt-ins in a single experience. So through one pop-up, if you can opt into, you know, these different ways of communicating instead of having 75 different things going on your on your Shopify store, it can be a bit much, right?
Yeah,
so really condensing that down into a single opt-in experience is something we're really focused on.
Really cool. That's awesome. So what does the future hold for Privy? I'm not asking for the secret sauce, the roadmap, but I mean, there's some any partner alignment, both core or plus.
Sure. So a couple areas that we're really focused on. One is that getting more of those integrations so that we can opt in people to more different systems. So via SMS, all that stuff.
Right.
That's really important in making that as seamless as possible for our partners.
Right.
We actually just changed our pricing model to give all of our features to all of our merchants.
Oh, really?
And that way, more people can take advantage of these integrations. Another place we're really focused is our email service, which we launched last year, sort of like a starter level email platform for e-commerce, but really powerful abandoned cart emails, order follow-up emails, and of course, things like newsletters and welcome series. But the cool thing about combining these on-site displays with your abandoned cart emails is we can actually reach a lot more people than a normal abandoned checkout would do, because if you've ever opted in to a Privy form, and you leave our site, you know, you leave a Shopify site with an item in cart, we can reach back out to you. They don't have to get all the way to the checkout step.
Oh,
so we're investing more and more in that and making that a little bit easier to use, but we're already seeing some great traction there. So really it's all about, like, you know, we want to be one communication channel, but we want to integrate with all of them too, right?
Oh,
so continuing to support our email partners, our SMS partners, our Facebook partners, and making that a really, like, condensed, easy-to-use experience for all of our merchants.
Oh, that's exciting. So how can people learn more about Privy?
Sure. So certainly come to privy.com. We're always posting things on our blog there, which is just privy.com/blog. We're on all the social networks. But come check us out. Happy to put people in touch for a demo if they need it, or just hop right in, take advantage of the trial period and our freemium package, and have at it.
Beautiful.
Jake, Josh, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Well, it's Steve here. I'm back again with another episode. Once again, serendipity is happening. I'm at IRCE right now and bumped into Aaron, who is a co-founder of ShopPad. And ShopPad has about maybe a dozen or so apps in the App Store. I know, and they're all very unique, and they're actually solving some very unique problems for Shopify brands. You know, it's a saying I always have that Shopify, you know, does commerce 80% very well. It's that final 20% that needs to be filled in with a solution like some of the solutions that you offer. So welcome to the show today.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
So I'm going to talk about one particular app that's new. You know, we have so many to talk about today. We could have an hour podcast whipping through, which we should do, by the way. But there's one particular called Mesa that I want to talk about today. And so what does Mesa do, and, you know, what sort of problem is it solving for Shopify brands?
Yeah, so Mesa is our automation product built especially for Shopify and Shopify Plus. And automation is really about helping retailers expand their business, grow, without having to add a lot of people. They can scale with the power of software.
So essentially, so these are more external systems. So this could be like an ERP, it could be a warehouse management system, it could be like anything that's already connecting to Shopify. And so you basically, with this platform, are now able to connect to those external systems.
Right. So, you know, I think merchants need a world of systems and data to really build their business today. It's no longer about having one system that's just siloed. They really need to bring in the best of breed from all these different systems. A CRM, a WMS, an API, all of these systems. And so we want to bring them into the Shopify world. And so our Mesa products is about helping merchants connect these systems, automate them, customize them uniquely for their business so they can get it dialed in just right for their business logic and really be able to scale with the power of automation.
Very cool, very cool. So let's talk about any case studies. I know it's a fairly new product, but do you have any kind of case studies or any kind of success stories? I mean, do you have any kind of early adopters, Shopify merchants that have made the choice to use Mesa and, you know, and just like what's been their feedback or any successes that they have found?
Sure. So we've actually been working on this problem for a number of years, and we've been really lucky to work with some of Shopify Plus's biggest merchants with this product here, including General Electric, Nine West, and Hawaii Tea Time. So companies that are doing interesting things at an incredible scale, have unique problems, and are able to benefit by what we've created with this Mesa product.
Beautiful. That's excellent. So what does the future hold for both ShopPad and the Mesa product?
You're right. So we have about a dozen different applications in the marketplace, and we're always looking for new ways that we can expand and grow those products, adding features to those. For us, the Mesa product that we just launched here in April is one of the big areas we're investing, adding additional libraries so we can really connect with all the systems that merchants need to use to run their business.
Excited to see where this is headed. I know it's definitely a significant pain. When I talk to a merchant sometimes where they have like a legacy platform or, you know, they're choosing, let's say, give it a perfect example. I have one controller who says, I love Shopify Plus, but from an accounting perspective, you know, they've certainly matured outside of Xero and QuickBooks. And so they're looking at going into SAP or Dynamics or going into NetSuite. And so it'd be nice to know that the Mesa product actually has connections to these kind of external systems, and it makes their job easier. So then they're using the more enterprise solution to take care of all their accounting. So is that kind of where you feel this product's being positioned?
That's right. So, I mean, Shopify has a lot of different capabilities for a merchant, but sometimes, you know, one area they're going to outgrow or they're going to need to upgrade their systems. And we want to make sure that they don't have a lot of difficulty switching over as their business grows or evolves or maybe some of their needs change. And so Mesa's about really bringing all those systems together and helping them grow.
Beautiful. Very excited. I'm looking forward to watching this unfold. So how can people learn more about ShopPad and the Mesa product and all your other products?
Sure. So they can visit us on the web. Our website is theshoppad.com. And we also have a dedicated site just for the Mesa product at getmesa.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Take care. Well, I'm very excited. Once again, I've said this numerous times on this show in the last few days, but serendipity has happened. I'm walking here in IRCE, and I bump into my friend, Yanni from Lux, the Lux app, very, very popular user-generated content app. And, like, I don't know, gosh, 35-some thousand customers are using your platform. And so I decided, like, there may be a little bit of noise in the background because they're now officially tearing down IRCE as we speak. But, Yanni, first of all, welcome to the show, first off.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, there's like 35-some thousand customers that obviously have vetted the Lux platform, have made the decision to want to use it. Obviously, the ROI is there. They wouldn't be paying monthly to use it. So, obviously, it's having some value. There's a lot of people that maybe don't know what your solution is. So, could you talk about, like, what sort of problem that Lux solves for Shopify brands?
Sure, certainly. So Lux helps merchants automatically collect product reviews with customer photos and basically use this content as their strongest marketing materials, both to increase conversion, but also to attract more traffic and generate more repeat purchases.
Yeah, and I noticed that too, because I, you know, you have quite a few signature kind of Shopify Plus brands that are using the solution, and you know, even, and I'm a shopper obviously online, and I like to see. I just think it's very authentic when you see. It doesn't feel like it's, you know, a PR machine with, you know, stock photography or stock images of just the product. It's nice to see the actual product in real life by a real user. Like, it just seems to add some credibility. So can you expand? Am I on the right path here that showing user-generated content on a product page really helps lift of conversion?
Certainly. So consumers definitely expect transparency from brands they shop from. And research shows that 95% of consumers won't shop unless they see reviews on the product page. So this really helps merchants build strong trust quickly, because we as human, we're wired to process visual information very quickly. So if you arrive on a product page and you see 20 photos of real people using the product, people instinctively know that it's authentic, and it helps them reduce concerns and increase the conversion for them to actually shop.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. So let's talk about maybe some case studies or any kind of success stories. I mean, you know, you have, like I said, 35,000 some customers. Do you have any that, you know, that you can, maybe not specifically the merchant per se, but, you know, do you have any kind of overall, like what does success look like for people that have made that choice?
Certainly. So overall, we see an increase of 26% in add to cart conversion. Oh. In some verticals, it could be even 91%, depends on how hard it is to shop that specific item online. With fashion stores, for example, we see the highest uplift, because that's something that people will want to actually see how the item looks like on people with different sizes, shapes, heights, etc., not necessarily just on the model's body.
Right, I see. So then the next thing is that because, in the fashion example, it's like, you know, there's all different sizes. So, you know, if people are putting up these photos and they're all different body types and sizes, and then you kind of can go through them all and say, yeah, I'm kind of like that. Because what the workaround is for people that are not doing UGC is they have a model on there, the same model on all the pictures, and they're saying this model is 5'4" and has this bust and waist size. And so you have to kind of think, okay, well, that's what she looks like, the model, with those kind of dimensions, but that's mostly not going to be the person shopping. So with looks, now you have a full range of like real people in real body styles.
Right, correct. So you definitely don't want to make the consumer think too hard, right? You just want to make the purchase super easy. And by displaying many customer photos on the product page, you're basically making it a super simple decision for the consumer to say, oh, I like how this looks like on someone like me. I'm going to buy it.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. So let's talk about the future for looks. You know, is there plans or current plan? I'm not asking for the secret sauce, but is there a roadmap of any kind of enhancements to the platform or partner alignment or Shopify Plus? Or like, just I'm just curious overall. It's nice to get a warm feeling about the innovation that's happening with your platform.
Certainly. So we believe that social proof is going to be the cornerstone of any brand's marketing plan in the coming years. People want to see real people say that this product is great. They don't necessarily believe the brand as much as they believe their peers.
Right.
So we're going to continue to expand the scope of the product to collect more types of user-generated content and to use them in more innovative ways across all touch points.
I also see, I guess, one great example that I was just thinking of now is like, imagine if you get some kind of approval from a user-generated piece of content, and then could somehow a marketing person could then somehow use that user-generated image potentially in a social ad. Is that a tactic that some people are doing right now?
Definitely, and it's something that we already do. Okay. We collect the consent from the consumer that and the brand can use this content both on the website and on social media. We are starting to build out our ad solution. So today, many merchants do this manually, but we're going to make it seamless so that they can automatically generate ads from the best reviews.
That is secret sauce. Thank you for sharing that exclusively here. Thank you very much. So how can people learn more about the Looks app?
Sure. So first of all, we're, of course, on the Shopify App Store. You can find us by searching reviews. We're currently ranked number one with over 2,000 reviews and an average rating of 4.9. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to our website, which is looks.app, and where you can learn all about our features, our benefits. You can read case studies that we've made with customers, including Shopify Plus customers. Mm-hmm. And feel free to reach out to us.
Yeah, thanks, Johnny, for coming on the show. I'll make sure I update the show notes. We did a full podcast episode, so for those that are interested, if you want to learn like the real nuts and bolts of exactly what Looks has done for other you know, Shopify and Shopify Plus merchants, I highly recommend you listen to that full episode. And Johnny, once again, thanks a lot. I know you've been around for a couple weeks at Unite, now here at IRCE. I know you're tired, so I will let you go, but thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you in person, finally.
All right, take care. This episode was brought to you by OmniSend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Facebook and Google, all from one platform. Try OmniSend for free for 14 days. Check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/OmniSend, and use the coupon code FASTLANE when you sign up. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.